Paula, it's, we believe, your fifth time on the show, which means we get you the decoder ring and we get to teach you the secret handshake.
Oh, man, I'm so proud.
I thought you would be. It's pretty exciting for us as well. I also have a request I was given by the people at the Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor. You're going to be there in September, and they would like to know what kind of cake you like backstage. They want to make you a cake.
Oh, wow, that's nice. That's the thing about Maine, the cake makers. I enjoy a chocolate cake, you tell them.
All right, chocolate cake, excellent.
It's
on the way. How are the cats doing?
Cats are great. I'm looking at them right now. Well, I'm looking at not all of them. You know, I have 13, and it's the time of the day where I scrape the parts of the bowl of food that they didn't eat into one bowl. And you would think they had never eaten before. They rush in. I almost get, what's that called, stampeded. I can be caught in a cat stampede over just that. They're great. When somebody invents a useful use for cat pee, I'm going to be the richest person in the world.
Now, do you ever get worried? I know you love them, obviously, but do you ever worry when you see them maybe clustered together in groups of, I don't know, 4 or 5, that perhaps they could be, if not plotting against you, at least talking about you?
I think that, I've heard this suggestion. In fact, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me one time, there was a thing, they had some sort of study that said that your cats would eat you if they had the opportunity. And I just don't think that's true. I don't know. I look into their eyes and I just don't see an animal that would eat me there. I have a lot of squirrels in my backyard. They'd tear me apart if they had the chance.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know how squirrels are.
That's why you keep them outside.
Well, they are. I'll tell you, you know, part of the reason they enjoy the outdoors, the squirrels and the rats, are because I have a plum tree and a nectarine tree. And, you know, I'm always so excited when they begin to flower and there's so many flowers on them. And then you can see little, you know, little nectarines and little plums begin to you know, grow. I don't get one plum or one nectarine. They are all eaten by rats and not rats and squirrels. And they don't eat everyone. They take, because I would gladly split with them 80-20. I'll take the 20 or even 90-10. But, they take a bite out of everyone and leave it. And I talked to a pest control guy about if it would be okay to just cut out the rat-eaten part and eat the rest, and he thought not.
Probably not a good idea. No, we're talking to Paula Poundstone here on Downtown. Last time you were on with us, you talked about your track record on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and that you've rarely won. We had Tom Beaudet on a couple of months back and asked him about that. Now, he says you could win a lot more, but you'd rather get the laugh. You'd rather have the funny story than actually win.
No, he's totally wrong about that. I'm so glad I get this chance to clear this up. I am desperately trying to win each time. People think I throw the match. I absolutely don't. I have a great Tom Beaudet story. I stop me if I've told this before, but one time I was working in Vermont, and Tom and I were on a bill together, and he kindly invited my son and I to stay with him. And so we did, and we went to the show that night, and then we went back to his house, and, you know, eventually those guys were tired, and they went up to bed. But, you know, my son and I were on California time, so we're still awake, really. So my son comes into my room, and we watch a DVD of I Love Lucy or something, and, you know, eventually we're like, okay, we should go to bed. And then we realized we didn't know where the light switches were. And so we slept with the lights on at Tom Beaudet's house.
That's perfect.
Isn't that great? I mean, I've slept with the lights on in many places, but it was never meaningful in this way.
I like that a lot. That's wonderful. You had Penn Jillette on your podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and you guys talked, among other things, about longevity. Is it possible? Is it a key for you and Adam to keep that going? If not for 40 years, then 20 or 30, is it essential for one partner to never speak?
Well, we've already broken that dam. the thing is, I speak so much that it may be the amount that I speak even though Adam also speaks, may still be more than Penn speaks, even though Teller doesn't. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so it may just be. Maybe we're focusing on the silence of one partner when really the success has to do with the, you know, loquacity.
Yeah,
is that the right word?
Yeah, I think so. Or loquaciousness or that talkiness. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, precisely. Why should I try to impress myself with vocabulary? I know I can't do it.
Have you become, you travel so much, you're on the road back here in Maine for three shows of Gunquit down at Jonathan's July 18th and 19th at the beautiful Strand in Rockland on the 20th, and then back across the country to Walla Walla, Washington. Have you become an expert packer in your years on the road?
Oh, I am a good packer. Yeah, I am a good packer. You put your underwear in your shoes, first of all. That's critical.
Yes, I like that idea.
Yeah, it has to be sort of forced in there. The other thing is, I have two of many things. Like, I haven't for many years packed and unpacked things like toiletries or clothes that I sleep in, or that sort of thing is just left in there all the time. The hardest part of my probably the heaviest part of my suitcase is my recyclables. By the end of a trip, my suitcase is pounds heavier than it was when I left because I take everything that needs to be recycled. I take it home with me because I live in the fantasy world that tells me that here in Santa Monica, they actually are recycling things. You know, you never know. Once you put it into the bin, it's not like, you know, you follow it in a maternal fashion. I don't trust a hotel to do that. You know, hotels are hard to trust. They don't even have shampoos that are labeled in a large font. You don't really know what you're putting on your head in a hotel.
I probably shouldn't say this to somebody who travels as much as you do, but have you seen any of those reports about the hotels where they don't really even change the linens on a regular basis? That's a little scary.
I've long suspected such a thing, but frankly, exhaustion trumps hygiene, I guess. You know, sometimes I've gone in a room and I thought, I wonder. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so damn tired. It hasn't killed me in all these years. It's probably not gonna.
Well, no, it's probably built up your immunities. You may be the healthiest person in America.
You know, I got to say, I am pretty healthy. And it's partly because, I you know, as a comic, you don't get benefits. I'm self-employed. I have the worst boss. And, so I don't have, boy, when she gets that look on her face and says, see me in the office, I know the jig is up. So my health care largely, here's how I get my health care. For example, I don't know, it was a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was having trouble breathing. And I was in a lot of pain, and this went on for months. And finally, what happened was one of my cats had to go to the vet. And when I was at the vet, I asked questions, pretending that it was about an animal at home, but really it was about me. Geez, my dog Ramona seems to have a hard time breathing, and when she does push-ups, she makes a moaning noise. Do you think? Do you think there's reason for concern?
Did they catch on?
By the way, yeah, there wasn't. I have to tell you, Ramona just dropped dead one day.
Oh dear!
So it's lucky that I'm still alive, I guess, because my vet skills didn't even go as far as my dog, let alone me.
Gracious! Now you're traveling all here to Maine. You're back again, as we mentioned. You're going to be back here in September for a couple of shows down at Stone Mountain in Brownfield, and then at the Criterion in Bar Harbor. In the past, we thought maybe there was some expert planning on your part that you get here during the most beautiful times of year, but you're a warrior. You come to the Northeast even in the wintertime.
I do. You know, I've always prided myself in, I don't know that I did this last year, but in years past, I have gone during mud season because that's when I feel, you know, that people are the neediest. That's when you really need a good laugh is when, you know, your front room is covered in mud, and then the weather forecast says it's going to snow again.
That's that's like 5 months out of the year up here.
Yeah, you're due for your April snow. I love Maine. I mean, what's not to love about Maine? I love Maine so much that I have, you know, that kind of furniture that's out in people's front yards and it's in the front of all sorts of you know, kind of country stores as you drive down the road in Maine.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of furniture that's the bright colors.
Yes, I do.
I have that in my living room.
Oh, I like that very much.
Yeah. What's that called? There's a word for it. Like Adirondacks or something?
Yeah, Adirondack chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did I ask you when I knew? See, that's the thing about me.
Well, no, you were just trying to make me feel like I was more knowledgeable.
I don't always have faith in myself. Sometimes I pull over and ask directions on a straightaway. I'll be on the 405 North and I just pull over and do I just keep going here on the 405? Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
I found a GPS doesn't help me very much because I'm one of those people, and it's terrible to do this. I find my way, I guess, by feel, if it's a city I've been to before, and I always
so just
think
crashing into stuff.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
I always
drop your hand out the door.
Always. I just try to get it a little bit ahead of the bumper if I can, but then I seem to have a blind spot over on the right. No, I'm
it's
terrible.
All feelers.
I can't find, you know, and I realized what it is. It took me, I don't know, 30 or 40 years to figure it out, that it's because I don't really pay attention when I'm going someplace new. Some people will look at landmarks and remember, oh, I turned left at that store by the big red barn or whatever it is. But I don't do that. And so if I have to retrace my steps, I'm lost completely.
Yeah, nobody does it anymore because of GPS. But in the old days, yeah, you did. You made an absolute effort to pay attention to where you were. You know, there's a commercial for, I think it's Subaru. I can't swear to it. But where this couple goes into a store and they ask for a map to, they ask if they have a map to, like, the Eagle's Perch. And there's a blind guy in the back of the store, and he goes, you won't find a map for that. And then in the next scene, the blind guy is in the car with this couple, which just strikes me as unsafe in every way. He's in the car with this couple, and they're driving, and he's saying, make a left, make a right, you know, just wait, stop, there's a bunny there. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, does this guy come with every car? It's a very strange ad. It's really hard to understand what the upside is of the Subaru.
It's a unique feature of the Subaru. I have one. I didn't get my blind guy. I need to go talk to the dealer, I think.
Yeah, it's a blind man, but it's also a blind man who had this like very strong understanding of where the of where the road turned, like how you did. He just did it by feel, you know.
Well, you know what they
come with a Subaru. That's why you didn't get a guy like that, because that's you.
Well, you know, they say if you lose one sense, the others are heightened. So maybe in his case, it's navigational skills.
You know, they say that, but I don't know if that's actually true. Helen Keller went through some sort of study. She believed that she had a better sense of feel than other people had. Like just touch, better sense of touch, because her hands were so important. And I don't know, she went through some sort of process. I forget the details of it, unfortunately, but, you know, which makes it sound shady when I say it. But she went through some sort of test to see if that was true, and it turned out that it wasn't. And by the way, she was very disappointed. Because I think she thought, you know, geez, I want to excel at, you know, at something here. And of course, she did excel at all sorts of things, but she wanted her hands to be, you know, extraordinary.
It's not quite the same thing, but
the difference is, I don't know that anything else gets. It's just that if you don't have one thing, you rely on the other things more. It doesn't mean that they sharpen as a result of relying on them.
Right. I always thought I
hate to dispute your science, but that's what I read.
Well, no,
I only have one source on that, by the way. It was one book that I read it in.
I learned that myself because I thought being such a bad dancer, I would naturally be a really good singer, and that didn't work out either.
That's how I've always felt about sex. And it's not even that I'm good or bad at sex. I simply don't have sex. And so I thought for sure that, you know, my croquet would be like, you know, just I'd hit the ball once and it would go through hoops and then turn and go through other hoops. That's what I thought.
And that didn't pan out?
Hasn't. I haven't really focused on my croquet career. But if you, hey, did you see yesterday the pictures of the flyboard going over the Bastille Day event?
I did not.
It looked like Mr. Robinson from Lost in Space, except for he's standing on a board. It's a device that flew.
Wow.
I mean, unless I fell for some sort of a trick, it certainly looked that way. And let me just say, I know that people were trying to decide what kind of cake to get me. And I know a lot of audience members, you know, wonder, oh, what should we get for Paula? And I knew you guys were probably thinking, you know, gift can we give her?
Of course.
And I just, you know, as opposed to telling you, like, my jean sizes, I want you to know, I want a flyboard more than anything in the world.
Carrie just called it up here in studio. We're looking at the picture of the flyboard. I want one of those, too.
I get mine first, because I asked. Is it maybe you guys could have a thing at your station?
We could do that.
Where I call in and I win it.
I mean, I grew up watching the Jetsons. I expected all of this by now.
Yeah, that's Jetsons amazing. Watching the video of it, that is right out of Lost in Space.
I mean, with the exception maybe of, you know, the ocean or outer space. You know, George Orwell was prescient to a frightening degree. You know, just like, whoa, boy, called that, didn't he? But the Jetsons... You know, you figure, well, George Orwell was a genius, okay?
Right.
So you expect him to know a little something. But I don't think Hanna-Barbera, they were geniuses exactly. But, boy, they did come up with stuff. Like the whole thing of shopping on a screen.
Yes.
When you used to go through Disney World, I think it was, had the Monsanto exhibit.
Yes.
Where you'd sort of see things in the future. And one of the things was a woman shopping on a computer. And what they didn't say when they showed it was that that would bring down the whole world. That would be part of the end of the world. You know, because it's not just jobs, although that's important. It's also who do you have those little exchanges that sort of oil your day in a way that you're not even paying attention to? You know, those little exchanges. You know. You know what I mean? When you're a clerk at a grocery store or something where you go, oh my God, it's hot out. You know, oh, how's your day? I'm getting by. You know, how are the kids, right? Just, you usually have kids with you. Oh yeah, yeah, well, they're grown now. Those little exchanges are so important to us and we're forgetting about. I think every day should look like the opening scene of Beauty and the Beast. Just people walking around going, bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. When we do see, this is where maybe the Jetsons have steered us wrong. if we do all of our shopping over a computer, we're going to become way too isolated. It's already happening, and people, you know, speak of you know, there's a high rates of depression and suicide, and a lot of that is because they're not saying hi to the clerk at the grocery store.
Yeah. Those little human interactions throughout your day, you don't think of them, but they are really important to maintaining a connection.
They really are. And they've already, I mean, we've already lost so much of it in the same way that sea level rise, like, you know, people aren't like focused on it the way they should be, but slowly but surely. Because, like, for example, I walk a couple of days a week. I walk about a mile and a half to a nursing home where I volunteer, and then I walk about a mile and a half back. And I say hi to people when I walk, and they all have those things in their ears, and then they glower at me because I interrupted their music or their you know, their phone conversation. Sometimes you can't even see the things in their ears, which is why I say something, because I don't realize there's a thing in their ear. And in the airport sometimes, people are looking right at me, walking straight towards me, talking. And so I say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Because they assume they're talking to me.
Right.
And then they walk by and glower at me because they have that stupid Bluetooth thing. I think there should be a law that if someone's going to wear that Bluetooth thing for the phone, they have to have a vacant, no vacant sign coming out of their head.
I love that plan. Paula, thank you so much. Always a delight to talk with you. Safe travels on your way here to Maine.
Thanks a lot, you guys. Take care.